Hello, everyone. It's Queen's Club Day. It's fun times. We're going to do some coaching. So as you guys come on in, hope you guys are enjoying the ending or breaking self-sabotage month that we're doing here. If you want to get coached, all you got to do is raise your hand, and then I will call on you. And as we get everybody in here, make sure that you use all panelists and all attendees in order to talk to your friends here at the Queen's Club. And if you, I forgot what else I was going to say. Oh, yeah. And we have Betsy. Coach Betsy is here today, and she's going to be helping you guys out. A sexy angel. Thank you. I don't know if y'all know, but I have like very short hair. I'm sure you do know, but I've been pulling it back in the clip. It gives me the advantage of feeling like I'm pulling my hair back with like lepping a pony without actually having to let my hair, the painful process of growing my hair out and do it like a pony. All right. Nobody wants coaching? Come on. All right, Danielle. Thank you. That's a lot to say. Come on. Somebody's got to want coaching. We're just going to be a quick day. Thank you. Everybody's now raising their hand. I figured somebody needed help in this group.
There we go.
Hello.
How are you? I'm okay. I was going back and forth about raising my hand, and then you said
why?
No.
Why not?
Was there raising your hand? Because a lot of times I feel like the things I get on here to get coaching about, we've already covered. And
is that what we're doing today? The exact same thing over and over and over again?
No, not so much. I mean, because I think a lot of the things I've done have helped.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing better with things. Mm-hmm. But then a lot of the same themes still come up. And I know they're going to. But I think sometimes it's just nice to get like a little like, I don't know if it's a pat on the back or a like kick in the butt. But just that I'm on the right track and I'm doing okay, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this. If you had to grade yourself, what grade would you be giving yourself right now?
It depends. On my thinking, I think I'd give myself like a B+.
Okay. Before we go too far into this, just so everybody knows, Danielle was at my sixth day and she had a challenge where she has to send me like a box of love letters to herself. Where are we at on our box? I can't wait to get it because you're sending it to me, what, in July? It was like my birthday gift?
Yes, your birthday.
Are you happy?
I think so. I've written more days than I haven't, like a lot more. I've kept track.
Okay.
And I'm putting them in the first couple weren't in a notebook, but one of them, now they're in a notebook.
Okay.
I think you'll be happy with
it. Well, if it was like a big empty box, let me just tell you, I don't know that I would be able to manage my mind around it.
No. And I think they're very helpful. Like they are very helpful. I've definitely noticed like the change in the way I think about myself, and like I'm much quicker at noticing when my brain does go down kind of like a wormhole that I don't want it to say, hey, no, stop. What do we want to think?
Yeah.
There was another day where I was thinking to myself, like I was just trying to, I think I was, instead of allowing the thoughts, I was more resisting them. Mm-hmm. And I finally just kind of let them just happen.
Yeah.
And then I was also able to, at the same time, like I felt the feelings that, you know, were caused by those thoughts. But then they dissipated, like, and then I was able to get on with what I needed to do. That was helpful too.
Good. So we're at a B+. Where are we struggling?
So it's the weight loss is where I'm struggling.
Okay. Why do you think you're struggling?
Because I think a lot of my thinking about weight loss hasn't really changed. It's been more my thinking about myself and what I can, accomplish.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts about weight loss then?
So I'm a failure at weight loss. I should have lost all my weight by now.
Okay.
It's going to take so long to lose my weight.
Well, yeah, it is going to take a long time. So like, I really want you to be thinking about the things you're thinking about. You're thinking
uh-huh.
about them like they're problems.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Are they problems or are they just thoughts that you're just like, well, here I am thinking about that again. No wonder I'm not losing weight.
That.
Yeah, that's a very passive way to be. Like, I'm just like watching myself think things and, right. you know, and like, I'm not saying, like, I always want you guys in the observer mode,
mm-hmm.
but you're kind of half-ass observing. It's like, well, let me just list you. I know they're not helpful. Okay. It's like, so what are we going to do about that? Like, now we need phase two. Phase two is to say, so what if it takes a long time?
Uh-huh.
It's going to take longer if I don't like put this chicken bone down.
Right.
You know, like, so what if it's like, what was one of the other thoughts? I should have already.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like one of those thoughts when it comes up and you're like, no, I shouldn't. You know what mm-hmm. I should be doing right now? Making another plan.
Right.
Like, it's just like transitioning your, like a lot of, like, I think what's happened for you, which is going to set you up for the next level is mm-hmm. phase one was literally deconstructing the version of you that hated you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really had to just get to where like you needed a casual relationship with yourself. Like, mm-hmm. like, and I think that's kind of where you're at now. It's like, you know, I kind of like myself. I'm noticing when I'm thinking and it's like, I've got this more easy relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
That sets you up to be able to now have these, I should have lost weight thoughts. I should have all this other stuff. I want you to see the different energy you have. Whereas before, mm-hmm. if we hadn't have set it up for you to actually like yourself uh-huh. and to understand there's a whole nother story, you would have told me all of that and it would have been boo-hoo. This is why I'm not losing weight. You know, mm-hmm. this is a problem and all this other stuff. Now you're kind of just like, well, I know the thinking. It's just real clear. Like, I just keep thinking this stuff. And it's like, okay, and now we have to make the switch of like, oh, so just like we did with ourselves, we have to redefine this part too.
Okay.
So like, I noticed that like my relationship with my weight loss is very much like the old relationship. It's very focused on what all's not working
uh-huh.
versus probably to lose weight. I've got to start doing the work that I did with myself, which is start focusing on what all of the things that I'm going to start doing to lose weight.
Okay.
Like, what are the things that I'm willing to start doing? What are the things uh-huh. that I'm going to need to think when these old thoughts come with me for the ride, because they're coming with you for the ride.
Right.
I'm guessing that all of your self-loathing thoughts haven't stopped. You just right. haven't, like, you're not married to them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just kind of go about your life with them and you actually have some decent things to say about yourself now too, which right. is nice. You're equaling that playing field with them.
Sure.
So what are you going to need to do? Like, what is like the one thing we've got to work on, like immediately that could get some weight loss happening?
Probably making realistic plans and then being able to use that to stick to the hunger scale. Because I'm really good at, I mean, like my water is pretty good
mm-hmm.
and I love sleep, so I'm taking yeah. care of that.
You will always own the sleep, for sure.
I love the sleep. So
that's like Chris. He's like, water and sleep, if that's all it took, Chris would be a model by now because he is a great water drinker and that man could sleep like a college kid.
Yeah, so I think it's getting over, it's working on my thoughts about the whole, like, Last Supper is a big thing for me, I think.
All right. So why is that such a big thing? Because think about, why is the Last Supper a thing to begin with?
Because I'm thinking that if I can just eat everything I want right now or today, then I'll be so good tomorrow.
Yeah, but why are you not just eating all of those things responsibly?
Because when I think about eating something like that responsibly, I think, what's the point?
I don't know. So that you don't need any more Last Suppers?
Right.
That would kind of be the point, to where you actually could eat them, enjoy right. them, lose weight, and not need a binge.
Yes.
Because the Last Supper, all the Last Supper is the action line, driven by mm-hmm. a thought of, I'm not going to get this again. Mm-hmm. Or when I start the awful fucking diet that I'm going to start that I don't look forward to and cuts out everything I love, well, I'll probably go do a Last Supper. Let me mm-hmm. just burn that shit out.
Yes.
Do you really think you're ever going to lose weight without urges?
No.
No.
No. No. I don't think...
I want you to just take a moment to give yourself an out loud response to this. Has the Last Supper ever worked to where you're like, thank God I did it. I just never wanted that food ever again. It was that one time that I ate it all.
No. And that's actually probably the thoughts that how I gained my weight to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you eat on the Last Supper? Just give me one or two things.
Chips, sour cream and onion chips.
Okay. So why are we not just like, seriously, I want you to tell me this. What does your brain do when I say, all right, Danielle, I'm going to give you your meal plan for the week. And five of the days, I need you to eat the chips at lunch.
Okay.
Or at dinner.
Well, dinner just seems weird, but
where would you normally eat the chips? When would you be eating the chips, and when would you like to have the chips?
So usually it's the end of the day. It's chips with whatever else I'm deciding to binge on. But if I just ate, I don't think I've ever eaten chips as like just part of a meal, like a regular part of a meal.
Yeah. Like, would you like to have chips with a sandwich? That's what I'm having for dinner tonight. Just FYI. It's so weird we're talking about it, because Chris said, when do you want me to order the Subway? I was like, I would like it here as soon as this call's over with, because I had breakfast at like 8. And I will be having my pop chips with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess my thought about the chips is, how do I enjoy them without eating them until I'm going to burst?
Okay, so here's how you do that. You start planning them, mm-hmm. and you start eating them really consciously until you train yourself how to eat them without bursting. Right now, what you're doing is you're training yourself to only eat them till you burst.
Okay.
So you've already taught yourself that lesson. So uh-huh. it would only make sense that if you're going to be able to eat them responsibly, like right. within reason,
sure,
you have to try to do it. Okay. And you have probably are going to overeat them a couple times. Uh-huh. Catch yourself when you're like, oh yeah, I'm having them five times this week and I'm eating them. Mm-hmm. My old self, which is, this is such a problem. You're never going to be able to learn how to eat chips. Like, all of that part's going to come up.
Okay.
And you're going to want to Last Supper them one more time. And you're going to talk yourself into that really makes a lot of sense. And then you're going to remind yourself, oh, wait, I haven't lost a fucking pound. I don't think the Last Supper's been working.
Right.
it really takes having like realistic conversations with yourself. So you need to write down, like, this is how you do it without being on a call with me.
Okay.
You write down, you know, I noticed my Last Suppers always involve chips in these foods. Uh-huh. I probably am going to have to, like, the lesson the Last Supper is teaching me is that I'm the kind of person that wants to eat these foods.
Okay.
And so if I want to be the kind of person who eats these foods plus loses weight, then I have to figure out, how am I going to be able to eat these foods and lose weight? Which means not last suffering them anymore,
right?
Not giving them up. Those two options have to be off the table now, because that doesn't work with what my own patterns are showing me.
Okay.
So if that's the case, then I need to start planting chips and going through the discomfort of not finishing the bag.
Okay.
I need to start planting chips and going through the discomfort of thinking this won't work. Okay. And reminding myself that what's not working is how I have been trying to do chips, which is either no chips or all the chips. Those are the methods that actually aren't working. So you write about those things and you talk about those things over and over and over again to yourself. And then you just remind yourself, yeah, like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy some chips and I'm going to bring them home and I'm going to portion them all out.
Okay.
So that what I plan is what I eat. And then if I want more, I'm not just sitting with a giant bag trying to remind myself not to like just keep on eating. That behavior is so uninterrupted. That's why it's so hard to stop. A lot of you, I'm actually, when I teach the self-sabotage virtual workshop, you guys get so much of the thought work. Well, they ain't going to get but 6 hours, and I can't change their thinking in 6 hours. But what I can do is give them lots of pattern interrupts and practical things and a thought to think, like, for God's sakes, think this before you do it. Just hope that some of that will stick.
Okay.
You'll be more successful. All of you who are in here will be more successful with this workshop because you will understand that everything that I teach you there is an action line item that has to be triggered from thoughts.
Okay.
Which are, for you, Last Suppers really don't work, and neither is deprivation. Neither one of those has ever proven true for me. And I'm going to want to think those are answers, and they're just not. So then what you do is, what I do is I make tripwires. Uh-huh. So when you try to include your foods and you're going to go and make a sandwich and you're going to put chips on the plate, it's so easy to just like bring the bag with you. It's so easy to see a full bag and start the whole chatter because it looks too familiar. It looks like every time you've done a Last Supper. So your brain goes haywire on all the Last Suppers. It rises like the desire and all that kind of, it comes up too much. So you want to like portion it so that if you want to go get another bag, you actually have to physically get up. And your conscious brain has to start kind of getting in on the action, has to get in. Like, you have to give yourself, let's say you've got 10 portion bags. You may eat all 10, but I would much rather see you eat 10 bags that you had to get up and make a decision for each and every time. And you made it, you gave yourself the opportunity to have to think through the decision cycle again, again, again. Eventually your brain will flip the switch.
Okay.
So like, If that's really the thing, it's it sounds more like you don't need a lot of work on 2-2 at first, near as much as you really need to like plan food in a way that you were going to free yourself from old deprivation rules and stuff.
Okay.
That's where I would start.
Okay. And then one other question. So there's a, I guess, a belief now that I have that, and I guess I know it's not true, but it's like a lot of the things that I used to do that I enjoyed, they seem to take a lot more energy, which I guess makes sense. But that, so like, I used to love to read and like do scrapbooking and like creative things. Mm-hmm. And now it's like the only thing I do is listen to podcasts and watch TV and eat.
Yeah.
And once I...
Well, yeah, that's easy. That's no energy.
Well, that, and I guess that's just... Because it does take more energy to, say, read than listen to a podcast. It's just... I guess I need to do it more often and convince myself that it's worth the effort.
You're going to have to take action and create the evidence ahead of time. Like, you need to create some evidence that reading is fun again and all this other stuff. Your brain right now is just like, but if we read a book, Like, we're not going to get chips. Right. I know you. You're going to sit there and you're going to read and you're going to like learn and we just going to get tired. Right. It's a habit loop and it doesn't want to break the habit. So one thing you can do is like schedule time to read at a time you are at your best when it comes to having some energy. So don't try to start reading like, well, I normally binge every night at 8 o'clock and watch TV. That's a great time to insert reading when your brain is already going, I don't want to read. I just want to watch TV. Plan reading time for a time when you can easily make it happen.
Okay.
For like 15 minutes, 10 minutes, something so easy to start that your brain can get some payoff. Your brain can be like, that was fun. Like, I wonder what the next page is going to say. Like, get your brain to where it's like going to appreciate it. The other thing is to rewire your story around it. You're very focused on telling yourself only, like, you know, well, I used to like it. I don't anymore. And it just seems so tiring. Your brain's only saying one side of the story. You're not even telling yourself why you might actually want to read.
Okay.
Like what could be good about it? What might be enjoyable or anything? Like give, like for every amount of time it wants to whine, also give it equal airtime of why it could be good for us. It's the same thing with liking yourself. Uh-huh. It's that equal airtime concept. You got to be willing to do it. But I think for all of you, one of the things that I would really watch out for is most of you want to do like reading and scrapbooking and stuff, and you think it's going to be amazing and blah, blah, blah. And, but you also know it's going to take a lot of energy and that, but you're trying to use things that you want to start doing for yourself to solve overeating. It's like, look, in the minute you want a Last Supper and you want to binge and you want to like eat your face off, whatever's going on, that is the last time to try to adopt a new hobby.
Okay.
Like you really need to sit there and think about why am I trying to pick a time when it's going to take some focus from me to like kick up, like it'd be like saying, I'm going to learn how to speak a new language.
Okay.
It takes mental bandwidth. You need your mental bandwidth for the like not eating.
Okay.
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 You could watch TV if you want to. Like, I would just make it easy. Just like, I watch TV, but I won't be eating through it today.
Okay.
If I'm uncomfortable, so be it. But, like, if I decide I want to read in the middle of it because I want to get my mind off, that's one thing. But I'm not going to, like, try to unwind eating habits plus start new hobbies at the exact same time and then wonder why it's, like, hard to do.
Okay.
The other thing I did want to tell you, just one little thing. I'm going to tell you to start with realistic plan and stuff. If at any time you're doing it and you do want to wait for hunger and you do want to stop at satisfied, you start doing that.
Okay.
Like, don't be like, well, I'm only working on the realistic plan. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to wait for hunger. And I'm not going to like, that's not the mindset I want you to have. What I want you to have is I want all the energy and focus on the realistic plan and stuff, remembering that you can wait until you're hungry if you want to, and you can stop when you're satisfied if you want to. Like, you can layer those things in at any time.
Okay.
And I think what will happen is the second you start following some plans, you start gaining some traction there, you'll feel like, you know, maybe today I can, you know, I'll wait until I'm hungry. Maybe today at, you know, at dinner, I will stop, you know, a little bit shorter than what I was doing. I want you thinking about those little things you can be doing. Lots of little things.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. It's good seeing you, babe.
You too.
Bye. I think a lot of you, like I'm going to teach this in that full virtual workshop, but y'all need to really, we've got to change our mind around the minimum baselines and the little things that we do and the prime, the pump things for our brain. The brain is just wired for that. You're like, you've got to be willing to let go of your judgment of how it should be and start actually working with the power of your brain. I mean, think about how unrealistic we really are about like, well, you know, if I can't plan the perfect foods, then what is the point? The point is so that you can get started. The point is so you don't wake up another day thinking you ain't done jack shit. The point is that in 30 to 60 days, you've got so many little changes that you're on a roll. That's kind of the point. Y'all have to quit just like, well, what's the point? I'm just going to believe all my judgment. No questions. Stop doing that. Start questioning everything. Shanna. I want help sitting with negative feelings. Can you share about your depression and how you got through it and how you get through it now? I actually have some podcasts on that, Lisa. We have done some. Betsy, will you post in the chat stuff where I've talked about depression and sitting with my feelings? The biggest thing is I write. I notice my thinking around it. I don't sit there and just, well, I'm depressed and act like, you know, I have no say-so in the matter. I don't try to make myself happy, but I at least identify the thinking that I'm having. And I have compassion for myself. Like, no wonder I feel so bad because I keep thinking all of these things. And I'm going to sit here and feel bad because of my thinking until I'm ready to change it. That's the biggest thing. Hey, Shanna.
It's Shauna.
Shauna. Hello, Shauna. I have a friend named Shanna who spells it the same way. I also have a friend, Cara and Kara, and they both spell their name the same way. So,
thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I'm in this pattern where I work. I'm a physical therapist. I work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at a clinic. And I have no plan or no problem following my plan on those days. And then on, the only problem is I don't sleep well those nights. So when I wake up Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, and Saturday morning, I might have gotten like interrupted sleep, like maybe 3 or 4 hours. So
why do you not sleep good? Do you know?
I wake up, I fall asleep really great. And I stay asleep usually for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then I get up to go to the bathroom and I'll come back to bed and try and get back to sleep. And then, you know, it's like from there up until I get up like at five, I struggle through that. And I've tried.
Like, what goes on though in your head? Like, what is it that's going on in your brain when you get woke up and then you can't go back to sleep? You're thinking what?
Probably worried about trying to get back to sleep more than anything, just because it's been a struggle for so many years.
Okay. So we've got to quit calling it a struggle.
Okay.
So your brain, like when you keep describing it that way, I know like what most people want to do is like, but it has been, let me show you the, you know, 450 nights that I didn't go back to sleep. That doesn't mean it was a struggle. That means 450 nights I didn't go back to sleep.
Okay.
But if I want to eventually train myself to be able to sleep, I have to quit thinking like someone who struggles with it. I have to start thinking like someone who wants to solve it.
Okay.
Okay. This is like, okay. I know this sounds crazy, but it's really important. Otherwise, you're always exasperated by it. And if you're someone who struggles with sleep, guess what? Before you go to bed on those nights, you're already dreading and anticipating having a hard time, hoping that you don't wake up.
Okay.
So the first thing is never allowing yourself to say that again.
Okay.
You can be someone who's working on getting good sleep. You can be somebody who is figuring out how to sleep like a champ. You can be anything you want. You just can't be a struggler anymore.
Okay.
And then when you want to be a struggler, you have to remind yourself like, no, it's just like when I was losing weight, like, do you think I would have lost 100 pounds if I'd always said, you know, I am someone who struggles losing weight.
Yeah, no.
Tell me what to do. I struggle with it though. I had to start thinking like someone who is figuring it out. Okay. Someone who's figuring it out is very aware of when they're making it harder on themselves. Like at 1 a.m. when you wake up and your brain is like, boom, let me problem solve. I got ideas. You know what? I think you're an asshole. like whatever your brain does, you know, our brain wants to light up in the middle of the night. And so if you're figuring it out, then what would you be doing that's different than what you're doing now in the middle of the night?
I don't know. I guess the meditating, the forcing myself to lay there is not, it's not giving me the solution to fall back asleep. So.
Do you think forcing yourself to lay there is not helping? Do you eventually go back to sleep?
Not always.
Okay. No. So when you lay there, what's happening?
I get uncomfortable. I get fidgety.
Mm-hmm. But why do you think you're uncomfortable and fidgety?
Probably because I can't go back to sleep. You know, that like thought
it's not
loop.
The, it, right. It's the thought.
It's
oh my
the
God.
Thought loop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I know. I'm just now like thinking what my brain is probably thinking is like, it's getting like, it's creating feelings of being annoyed. Like this isn't working kind of a tape that's running through. It's running through.
Let me tell you, go ahead. Okay. You finish.
I was just going to say, I need the thought for, I am finding a solution that's working, you know, something that'll settle it down. And then hopefully eventually it'll give in. Or it'll stop. I don't know.
Eventually it peters itself out. Like, right. So I've had this problem for my entire life. Like you can ask my mom, I've always been an early to bed, early to rise girl, but I've always been a night waker. And my son was the same, still is the same way. We just do. My husband is not. And especially probably in the last, I would say couple of years, like I have had to really spend a lot of time in the middle of the night bored. Just bored.
Okay.
Laying there. I don't allow myself to look at the phone. I don't look at the clock. I don't do any of it.
Okay.
When I lay there, my brain wants to think about like all the things I need to get done for the next day. I tell myself over and over again, now's not the time to think about that. We're not thinking, this is sleeping time. We're not thinking about that. And I mean, it's not fun, but it's not annoying and it's not anxiety ridden. It's like literally like you're trading all of it for boredom. And guess what brains really like to do when they're bored as fuck?
Go to sleep.
Eventually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a little while, but I will tell you one of the things that's really worked for me is just not allowing myself to think about stuff. I just say like, you'll remember it tomorrow if it's important.
Okay.
You know, whatever. Now, every now and then I will wake up and I will have some amazing flight of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I'm having like excited, like I should do this and I should do that, blah, blah, blah. I just write them down and then I turn that light right back off and I go, like I lay right back down.
Okay.
Sometimes
okay.
emptying my head does help. But if I'm laying there and I notice that I am just dreading the next day, trying to think about how like this is going to jack my energy for the next day and just getting like annoyed, I remind myself, we're just going to lay here. We're just going to lay here.
Okay.
And you can try meditation apps. I do think that those do work, but you'll only ever try stuff like that if you stop telling yourself that you're a sleep struggler.
Okay.
I just have always, like, the last probably couple of years, just really told myself, I'm just someone who works on their sleep because it's important to me. You know, that's such a better story than, you know, well, I've always sucked at sleeping. Still do. Like, let me get in the pool with you, you know?
Right. So, okay.
We clean up some sleep, but we're still overeating on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Yeah. And, you know, through your coaching, what I've heard today is right now, I don't have a realistic plan for the following day when I am like sleep depleted. So, I need to look back on those days and look at what was actually eaten and then create a plan off of that. And stick to it. So
and make it super conscious. Yeah. And then just, you know, kind of, I think cleaning up some of your sleep stuff will help, but also another part of your identity that I want you to adjust is one, I'm someone really figuring out sleep. Mm-hmm. And as I'm figuring out sleep, I'm also going to become someone who doesn't eat just because they're tired.
Right.
You know, because that might be what's happening the next day. It's like, I'm not someone who eats when they're tired. Like, I rest when I'm tired, or, you know, I do whatever, but I'm not some, like, I work on telling myself stuff like that all the time. Whatever it is I want to believe about me, I have to tell myself it over and over and over again. One of my clients I've worked with for a long time, she's been around forever, but she has basically told herself for 3 years now, I'm not someone who emotionally eats, even though she still emotionally eats sometimes. Mm-hmm. But she never wants to be like, she never wants to go to like to bat for the emotional eater for her. She's just like, I don't even know why I would do that, because you know what? I am not someone who emotionally eats. And she has just told herself that so much that like most of her binges are gone. And like when they start up, she's like, I realize right now I'm trying to emotionally eat. If I'm going to eat, it's just going to be a choice, but I'm going to know why I'm eating, because I don't eat out of emotion. I'm someone who recognizes my emotions. I'm someone who thinks about my emotions. Like, she stays in that mindset of, and she has to make herself do it. Yeah. Even when she wants to believe, she's still an emotional eater because she caught herself binging or she caught herself doing it. It's like, that doesn't mean I am an emotional eater. It means in that moment, I had an emotion, I decided to eat, and that's it. Like, it's such a very different energy that you put into your identity.
Yeah. Oh, those gonna, I just wrote down those two thoughts. So I am someone who works on sleep, and I am not someone who eats when I'm tired. And I think those two things are going to be very, very helpful in addition to creating a very realistic plan.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's smart. And then you just, if you catch yourself eating when you're tired, you'd be like, oh, I forgot for a moment. I'm not that person.
Right, right. No, that's great.
All right. Well, good luck. So,
thank you so much. And you are just, you're really great. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Julie Coleman, I hadn't talked to you in a while.
Hello.
Hey, I saw your name pop up. I was like, I want to call on Julie Coleman.
Oh, good. Well, I am glad you did. And before I forget to say, all the chatter in the other call and this one, you look stunning today.
Well, thank
you. I don't
know.
When you were talking about fixing your, I thought, how can your skin get any more perfect? So
I know. I'm like, I am going to eat that salmon until I grow gills.
Well, I was thinking, oh, I have salmon in the freezer. I better get me some of that.
I know. I'm determined to glow on that virtual workshop.
Well, I'm going to glow because I'm going to be sweating having doing my half marathon. I'm just telling you. Can't believe it. I started running in January and I just can't believe it. So now I know anything's possible if I put my mind to it.
Do you have your medal yet?
Our Pittsburgh mail is about 5 days behind everybody else's. I don't know why, but maybe Monday. Maybe I've heard other people have gotten there. So,
We sent them out like earlier last week. So we knew that they were going to be slow. So we tried to make sure that they got sent out, you know, way ahead of time. So we had to rush them.
I miss you terribly, and I know you will too, but next year, I'll be there next year. So
yes,
and I'm going to come in the fall.
So, hey, do you know? Just off topic, but so it's probably a good thing that we had to cancel because we had a big storm that blew through last weekend, and the bridge you guys were going to run across that, basically 2 miles into the race, two and a half, maybe two and a half, a tree fell and took the whole bridge out. Like we would have had y'all running. Like it would have been the most boring half you'd ever done because it has a huge hill in the middle. You guys would have had to gone back and forth several times over what we call Smoker's Hill, because Chris one time saw a guy ride a bike up that hill smoking a cigarette. And we're like,
oh, so it's Smoker's Hill.
We call it Smoker's Hill now, but
God.
So anyway.
All right. Well, you have given me a couple of segues today in your previous call and even in a caller tonight about judgment. And you've coached me on this, and I have come a long way on my self-judgment and perceiving the judgment of others and shame and all of that. So I have come, I just finished reading a book, and it's about not, I know we have a self-love course, I've done that twice, but it's, and it's sort of self-worth, but it's actually more than that. It's like when you were describing what, when Logan says he's disappointed in you and you say, well, that's fine. You, I think you have a, at least it appears to me that you have a strong self, knowing, self-truth, your own truth. And I'm beginning to figure that out. And so I really just would like your thoughts on, to me, it seems like if I can figure out my own truth, like deep down inside me, then I will have my own self-worth and I will stop projecting my self-judgment on, like, say, my husband and what he thinks of what I'm eating or what somebody thinks I'm doing, which is always just my own judgment of myself that I'm projecting on somebody else. I won't need that anymore, and that external validation, because I've got my own sense of true, my truth, not just value, but just my truth.
Well, what do you want your truth about you to be? I mean, I can tell you what mine is, but what do you want yours to be?
Well, I just who I really am and what's true for me, which will be different from every other person on the planet. And that it no longer matters to me at a deep down level. Superficially, sometimes, of course, it will matter. But what other people, I will stop always thinking about what other people are thinking. Get my value from that. So, and I've gotten really good. Sometimes I'll even see, I'll think something like, oh, they're going to think something about me, like I'm talking too much or whatever. And then I think, oh, that's a thought that I usually think, but I'm learning to not think that anymore. So I'm doing this meta thinking.
I think that's super work. Helpful for the first part, but I think you have to do some work on defining at the end of the day, what do you want to believe about you? Like at the end of the day, you only have you. I mean,
right.
I love Chris and I love Logan and my mama and everything, but you know, if shit hit the fan in the world and I was left with me, what would I want to be thinking about? You know, and what would I want to believe about me? And honestly, mine is not super fancy. I just always think I'm just a good person. I know at the end of the day, I'm a good person. I make decisions because I'm a good person. And that means that sometimes, you know, people might not like my decisions, but I know I never make decisions from anything other than, you know, what a good person would, you know, what I think a good person would decide. Like it always comes from that place. And it's the same thing with me. It's like when I mess up my eating or whatever, I used to think I was so bad or not enough or whatever. And I always just tell myself, you know, at the end of the day, you're a good person figuring it out. And I think I'm also part of my truth is being so willing to be imperfect and it not be a bad thing.
Ooh. That's a good one too. Yeah, I'm going to write a definition.
Yeah, you know, just the simple things Julie wants to believe about her and think about herself. And you really just have to start looking for ways it's already true. Like looking for ways that how you act, like one powerful exercise to do is think about a time when you actually did piss someone off or someone was upset with you or whatever. And you go back and you look at what were your intentions? You know, it's like sometimes even when you have done your best and everything, you can't control what somebody else is going to think. And so it's like, if I know at the end of the day that when I'm doing things from my best self, or even when I just believe I'm my best self, like, I'll give you a good example. I yelled at Chris the other day over something. I'm always yelling at Chris over something about work. And like I just snapped, and I snapped in front of one of my employees to him, you know. And after we were all done, you know, he went back into his office. I kind of went in there a couple hours later and I said, I just want to apologize. I shouldn't have snapped at you like I did. But it came from like not feeling shame and stuff. It came from like literally, like I just didn't like how I showed up, and I know I'm a good person, and I just wanted to make it right.
So you didn't have a negative self-judgment. You just noticed your behavior was something you didn't want to do, and you...
I didn't sit for 2 or 3 hours beating myself up over it.
Yeah, right, right.
I just like sat and thought, you know what? I was wrong. Let me just go in there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that was it. Like, I didn't have to go through it. Because I think what I watch a lot of you guys who have a really hard time reconciling yourself is you will do something that's like hurt someone's feelings or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And y'all go through this process of making sure that you're punished internally for it first.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go and apologize and stuff. And I'm just like, shit happens. I'm not perfect. And then I just go apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I can just go do it. I can, you know, 3 hours later, not have to spend 3 hours beating myself up over it.
Mm-hmm.
I can just be like, you know what? Yeah, that was kind of shitty of me. I'm going to apologize. And I just move on. I don't make it a blanket statement about who I am. I'm just like, of course, sometimes I lose my temper. That's just what happens when you're human. Like I have that level of, like, I guess, what would you call it? Identity with myself.
Right, right. Yeah. And that takes a long time to redefine and figure out. But there's a lot of peace with that, because when you know who you are and who you aren't, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, and they can be wrong, and that's okay. And I actually did that with my daughter, who was so mad at me about something that I did. I did cause her to be upset, but it was unintentional and I meant well. And I went to bed that night and for the first time ever didn't stew. I think my husband was shocked that I didn't just stay up all night long, you know, you do it, you loop over and over and over and over again. I didn't do that. And I just thought, she is entitled to her thoughts. She's wrong, but and then the next day we talked again. And I think she kind of apologized to me for blaming me. So I see such progress in that in me that it's like this core thing is, it takes a long time to chip away at it and to, but it's cool. And I love this, this thought work is.
At the end of the day, you got to like yourself, you know?
Right.
No matter what, you got to like yourself when you're imperfect. You got to like yourself when you're an asshole. You got to like yourself when, you know, you hurt someone's feelings. I mean, I know that other people's feelings are on their feeling line, but I have no problem thinking that sometimes I hurt people's feelings.
Yeah.
I know why, because I say words that goes in their C line and they have a thought that hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I don't feel all hemmed up by it. Like, I don't feel like I need to educate them. Like, well, that's not really how it works. I just understand that there are just going to be people sometimes who are hurt and disappointed and upset with me and all this other stuff. And I understand that I'm just showing up as me, and I at a fundamental level like me, it makes it easier to apologize. Sometimes I'm just like, even though I know I'm not in the wrong or like they shouldn't see it this way or whatever, the end of the day, I just want us all to be happy, and I'm okay with like, all right. Mm-hmm. If an apology makes them feel better, I'm willing to do it. Usually because I love them and I'm so in integrity with myself that like, I can't tell you how often I apologize for shit that's seriously not my fault. Like I could give you the paper trail and who is actually to blame. Like I could prove it in court. And I apologize for being wrong. And I apologize for their feelings. And I apologize that we screwed up. I mean, I apologize all the time for shit. Because at the end of the day, I know if it's right or wrong. I just want them to feel better. And
that's really upset. That you know.
Yeah. And if I can give them the C line, as Corinne apologized, and they can immediately feel better because it makes it easier for them to access a better thought, I am so willing to do that. Mm-hmm. I rarely ever need to get on a high horse and show someone, no, I'm really right. So I need you to stay angry.
Yeah. And letting go of needing to be right. I have a friend who has said for 20 years to me, I'd rather be happy than right. And I never understood it. I just didn't understand. Now I do. I called her up and said, I finally get it. it's also that ties right into, if I know who I am and I like who I am, I will care for myself. So it's kind of like my self-truth goes to my self-worth, which in turn is self-love, allows for self-love. And then I will not eat the whatever out of self-love for caring for myself versus punishment because I'll be bad if I do that. You know, it's a very different mind thought work. And it's...
Well, at the end of the day, if you like yourself, you have a really good opinion of yourself. And that's that opinion is... it's easier to fixate on. Like, we love to fixate on the good stuff, right? I mean, I just always think doing work on liking yourself, I don't care if it takes you 20 years, 40 years, every single day, if it's exhausting, there's no better work to do than the work of learning to like yourself.
Right.
And that literally means that when you go from not liking you to trying to like yourself, it is a long process.
Yes.
And I would say 75% of it feels very fake. Yeah. Like, a lot of it feels not real. A lot of it feels like you're just telling yourself, I'm just telling myself stuff. It's like, yeah, because if you're going to be telling yourself stuff, you might as well tell yourself good stuff. Like, what's the option? Well, if I don't believe it, then okay, go back to, I don't know, treating yourself like an asshole. That's so much better. Like, you're arguing for this all, like, your belief system about you is something that you have heard at some point or formulated at some point in your brain and told it enough to where you believe yourself.
Yeah. Because if you think it enough, it becomes your belief, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Just like good stuff. You think it enough.
Yeah.
You act like that person enough. You visualize it enough. You dream about it enough. You write about it. You do all that enough. Eventually it becomes the thing that you believe because your brain is like, I guess we're changing. It's like, I guess we are. Good call.
Yeah. Thank you.
Fall in love with yourself.
Yeah. Working on it. I'm working on it.
There you go. All righty.
Bye. Bye.
Elaine. I did not burn the basket of negative thoughts, guys. So we're going to have this burning ceremony from these. We had worries that we collected at camp and these thought things that we collected at camp. I kept them literally until about 3 weeks ago when we were redoing our garage. And I kept them and I kept them and I kept them. And we never could find something to burn them in. Like, that wasn't going to, you know, set the neighborhood on fire. So I eventually, you know what Chris ended up doing? He put them all through our shredder, and I had meant to record it for you guys, and we just forgot about it. But anyway, Chris put it through our paper shredder. So all of your worries and your thoughts and your doo-doo all got shredded. All right. How can I help you?
Hi.
Hello. Yes. I was like, who's this? And I just now saw the Elaine name pop up. There you go.
So I'm an April baby.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here. Yeah. I lost about 40 pounds as a groupie. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I've been dialing into my negative two. I feel like I've got that down. I'm actually like comfortable with being hungry.
Good.
First time I can say that. Happy to say that. So now I'm working on the other side, the plus two.
Okay.
And I think I'm tripping up a little bit. Maybe I'm overanalyzing it because that's totally something I do. Since I spent so many years overeating, I'm wondering if what I'm thinking is a plus two is actually a three.
And what was the scale telling you?
So I've lost 5 pounds since I started in April. So it's going down.
Good. Yeah.
So does that mean I'm fine and I'm at my plus two, or is there something else that I can do to like really like dial into it and make sure that I'm?
Well, here's the thing. So negative two and plus two. I think a lot of you, like, we do look for signals and we look for cues and all that kind of stuff. But when we think about, like, what is the spirit of the law, right? The spirit of the rule. It's really about being so conscious and listening. It's not so much about, like, you know, Elaine, you know, tell me your signals and boom, I know you're at your two. I never know if I'm at my two. I never, like, we don't really, really know. But what we can do is get really good at understanding some of the cues and watching our data, like our scale and our clothes and everything. And if things are trending down and we notice cues, this probably means we're eating enough. Like we're stopping where we need to and stuff. And so it's more about the conscious awareness that's developed by always looking. And then what happens is if you're always looking, as you get smaller, you'll start noticing some of those cues that you've identified come a little sooner. So like for some people, like you could be eating a three the whole time and lose weight. Some people like will say like they're at their two and they're really only a zero. Like I don't like y'all to get too hung up on that actual. I want you to really understand what is the spirit behind the plus two, which is, am I really paying attention? Am I challenging? Am I noticing when I'm taking an extra bite or two? Like, I think I'm at my plus two, but let me just eat a little more just in case, because I wouldn't want to get hungry later. That's the stuff I'm more interested in you guys noticing, because as you clean all that up, then every single time for the rest of your life, once that solves, then you will never be eating extra just in case you get hungry.
Okay.
Like you solve that problem. Rather than this is my plus two and this is what it feels like. And you're never really, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's such a bigger, better lesson to learn.
Okay.
So if I was going to give you advice when it comes to your plus, it sounds like you're doing just fine, at least on your plus two. Like, if you think like this would be my question, it's like, I don't know. It may actually be a three. It's like, okay, then just eat a little less and see what happens.
Okay.
See where your brain goes. Are you willing to leave a few more bites behind? Notice if like, well, I did do that. I probably was at my plus two, because what I noticed is that hunger comes faster. Like it's, you know, I was being able to wait 4 hours. And when I started eating at what I think is now my two, I noticed that I'm hungry like 2.5 hours in. So maybe I was just wrong. And I'm going to now add a little bit more back in. I think for like, it's such a good question. I love it when people ask me about the hunger scale. So I appreciate you bringing it. It's more about, you know, one thing that like when we're overweight that we don't want to do is like, we just want to know, just tell me what to eat. Just tell me how much. And, you know, like, and then that's going to solve it all. And it's like, I don't want to y'all to do that. I really want y'all to be more in that space of, am I willing to question things? Because most people who are trying to lose weight aren't willing to question anything. They're not willing to experiment. They're not willing to like, all right, I'm going to trust my body's going to figure it out. So in order to do that, I'm going to have to play with things. Like when you get that kind of freedom with the food and with your body and your mind, you never have to diet ever again. You're always just figuring out how to eat in a way that works for you. So even as you're losing your weight, you're never dieting.
It's great. I was able to make lasagna for food prep. And I'm like, I'm making something with pasta. And I was able to eat it reasonably and walk away and take a walk and feel great. So I'm like, okay, that's what it's about.
See,
great.
And that is what it's about. Because it's like, we don't want to have to be like, well, I'm going to lose weight. I'm not going to have pasta and all this other stuff. And then hope to God that I have an amazing relationship with pasta when it's all over.
Yeah.
It's so funny you mentioned it. My mom, she, my mom is so funny. I just love her, but she's hilarious. She was like, she's been having a hard time with eating. She's had some health problems and stuff. And so she made herself some turkey and dressing for Mother's Day. She's like, it was so good. She's like, I just forgot how good it was. I said, well, why haven't you been eating it? And she was like, well, you know, I have to cook for your uncle. And she had like all these excuses and whatnot. And she's like, and I just don't know if I should be eating that all the time. And I said, why don't you just make it and then freeze you some portions? And that way you can have it whenever you want. And you can just enjoy it and you'll be eating something that's tasty and, you know, whatever. And she's like, well, that's a good idea. And I was like, yeah. I said, it's a lot easier to come up with solutions when you don't think food's a problem.
I got to tell you, my hubby's been appreciating this program.
I bet. There's like husbands always love me for two reasons. One, their wife's losing weight and they don't have to diet. Like, you, what do you mean? We're not like throwing away all the food and I'm not going to have to like suffer. Like they just do like best plan I've ever seen you do. And then the other one is I usually end up taking their side in everything and encouraging you guys to quit waiting to want to have sex and just have it anyway. So,
yep.
I'm glad you're doing so well. And are you enjoying being here?
Love it. Best thing I ever could have done for myself. April's my birthday month. So hubby asked me what I want. I'm like, I want this. So
that's so awesome.
It's been great. First accountability group. We're doing bananas good. We're, checking in multiple times a day and we've really clicked. And, I finished the self-sabotage course and it was lovely. I was like writing down thoughts. I'm like, I didn't even know I thought that.
That's the amazing thing. So I'm so glad you're enjoying it. It makes me feel good. You're making me feel good right now.
Thank you. So I'll just keep eating with that self-awareness and I'll be good.
Yes. Thanks. That's all you got to do. Just keep being self-aware and don't get too hung up on it being perfect. Just like the most perfect thing any of us can do is be curious at all times. Like just willing to listen to all of it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Congratulations. Bye. I love coaching a baby. All right, Queens Club. I'm going to answer two questions and we're going to get out of here. I need to eat something. I'm literally at my -4 right now. My stomach's growling. And I never have a stomach growl. Do you have any tips on learning to say no to myself? It's been a recent realization that no one, including myself, really says no to me. It's with food, obviously, but it's other material things. I think planning more and being realistic. And honestly, for a lot of you who have a hard time telling yourself no, here's a quick hack. Figure out ways to set yourself up to where you're always saying yes to yourself. Like, yes, I'm going to follow this plan. And yes, this is going to be a meal that I'm going to want to eat. And think about ways that you can say yes to yourself. So you can also set it up to where, like when you, let's say you're making your plan or whatever, you just remind yourself before you eat that, you know what I'm saying yes to right now? These dreams and these goals. Like keeping, like I write my goals down every day. I always think you guys should be writing your goals down every way, day. You don't always have to like to write like your ultimate end goal weight and stuff, but you can write down all of your goals around weight loss. So pick like your five top, like my goal is to lose X amount of pounds this week. My goal is to learn how to, eat more vegetables. My goal is to say, like to look in the mirror and the first thought that pops in my head is something nice. Like make sure you understand what all of your goals are around weight loss and then like write about that every single day. Like have like your big goals around weight loss. Then what you do is you like you think about those things during the day. So like, man, I am fixing to eat this salad and that is me saying yes to this and this and this and this. And put them on sticky notes. Do whatever you got to do. But I can't, I know that y'all think that I am beating a dead horse when I say write, 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 write. But I really mean it. Write about your goals. Write about your thoughts. Write about your plans, all of it, like your life depends on it. Seriously. If somebody had a gun to your kid's head and said, look, you don't get to writing and figure your shit out, Junior's a goner. Like, write with that intensity. Like, and I don't ever want you guys to have to imagine your kid. Like, I always say like a kid because that's where we take things seriously. Like when someone else's life would be on the line, we would show up so much differently for ourselves. Like if your child's life was on the line in a year from now, based on the level at which you loved yourself throughout this next year and the level to which you changed yourself this next year, you would work 50 times harder. You would be team no days off for that. So like hacking how that shit's important and like you write about it. And for a lot of you, when it comes to your weight loss, you're spending so much time writing about all the things that go wrong and like your discovery worksheets and your shit shows. You need to spend more time writing and imagining about what life is going to look like, the things you want to do for yourself. Like when I eat my plan, when I make my plan, when I do these things, this is me saying yes to myself. This is me saying yes to these dreams. This is like start painting it the way that you hack your brain to crave it. I buffer with Diet Coke, lots of it. I really prefer it to be from McDonald's. So I will drive there and buy it and sit in my car and listen to podcasts and drink Diet Coke. I'm struggling to find a way to reduce the frequency. Get you a big water and sit. Like start first with a smaller Diet Coke and a big water and do the same behavior, but wean yourself off of it. And then just like one of the things that I've always told people when it comes to like Diet Cokes and things like that is if you really want to break that habit, I'll just be honest, I drink one every single day. I got one sitting right here. Like it's been sitting there crispy. I'm like, whoo, I can't wait to finish my Diet Dr. Pepper. I started this little heifer on the break. But I drink one every day. But I also drink four of these guys every day. This has Extend in it. Everybody keeps asking, what's that grape shit she's got in there? That's what it is, Extend, X-T-E-N-D. It's in my faves store. But the thing about it is like if you want to wean off of it, sandwich it in between better behaviors. So say I'm going to be able to have a Diet Coke at McDonald's, but first I have to drink like a 16-ounce bottle of water. That comes, then the Diet Coke comes. And then what you'll notice is that it's going to waterlog you. And then you start ordering a smaller one or you tell them extra ice. Like just start thinking about little ways that you can wean yourself down until you're ready to give it up. But I'm a big believer in when you're getting off the soda, start with 16 ounces of water, then you get your soda. That helps you at least stay super hydrated so that you're not craving to drink. And if you're the one thing you love to drink is just diet soda, you know, you're not as thirsty for it as often. I've noticed a restricting pattern on Thursdays before weigh-in. I know I need next level thinking here. Maybe I should come back and get coached on it. I mean, you could get coached on it. We have office hours on Wednesday night if you want to get coached on it. But I would just identify the thoughts. Like, why on Thursdays do you need to eat less? Now, there's restriction of like, oh my God, my weigh-in's going to suck without it. Like if you're doing that to compensate for off-plan eats, like you need to address all that. But like, if you're just like, you know, on Thursdays, I got like, I'm going to weigh in on Friday and I would love to see the number and I'm willing to be hungry. I don't think that's a restriction thought. That's more of a thought of what I'm willing to do. Now, don't be sitting there doing it at the expense of like, I'm not going to eat all day and like, do you want it to be unhealthy? But I don't think there's anything wrong with every now and then, if you're going for your goal and you want to like, you have to like, you've got to notice is the feeling restriction. Like, cause I always think about restriction as more of an action, but if you're noticing you're having thoughts that feel yucky, that lead to you restricting, that's where I want you really looking at. So put your restriction on the action line. So that would be like whatever it is that you're doing. And then you move up to your feeling line, like what's driving that? If like, you know, just doing your on the clock challenge every Thursday or something so that like that's like I do it before every weigh-in or whatever. And it's I'm learning how to do hunger. I'm learning all these things. I don't think there's anything wrong with that if it's coming from a place of curiosity and stuff like that. But if it's restriction on the A line is coming from I need to compensate for my fuck ups or whatever, that's very different. But when I was losing weight, I was high, like anytime that like when I was getting closer to a weigh-in, I was extra conscious about making sure like I was dialed into my hunger. Like I was always that stuff. And it wasn't because I was scared. It was because I was motivated. I was like, we're going to weigh in. We can do this. Anything we can do to level up. What's that going to be? Like I came into it from more of a place of like, I'm up for the challenge, not from like, oh, you know, I got to get this damn weight off and blah, blah, blah. Like, so just separate out. So Kendall, put your restriction behaviors on the A line and figure out what thoughts and feelings are driving me there. And then just decide. That doesn't mean you need to keep them. Good. I'm glad that was helpful. I feel like I want to be extra dialed in on Thursday, but usually I'm regular. I'm not sure what that meant. But anyway. All right, guys. Good calls. Good questions, too. I can always tell when it's the Queen's Club. Y'all have those upper-level questions coming at me. So y'all have a good one, and I will talk to you next month, y'all. Bye-bye.